Toledo, we're famous for Glass, Art Tatum, Tony Pacos, Jamie Farr, a world-class museum, the Toledo Mud Hens and Walleye, an outstanding zoo and public library system. But who are the people that make our city so great? Welcome to the Soul of the Glass City podcast. I'm your host, Monique. I am so excited to announce that I have Robert Pasker, Rob P. in the place to be on my podcast.
Hey.
Introduce yourself.
Yes. My name is Rob Pasker, broker owner of Pasker Real Estate, founding president of the Greater Toledo Realtors Association, and I love Toledo. And I do what I can to open doors for people to live their best life and pursue their purposes.
That sounds deep. Did you grow up in Toledo? And if so, what part of Toledo did you grow up in?
Absolutely. Born and raised in Toledo. I'm from Out Hill. So people that don't know Out Hill, it's like Hill and Richards.
Okay.
Out that area. So, yes.
Okay. And what was that like growing up?
You know, I really believe I had a unique experience growing up because I grew up in a neighborhood that had primarily homeowners. And so I grew up in a neighborhood with across the street, I had maybe four boys. We were all about a year and a half apart, and our parents all owned their homes. So we were able to do everything growing up together, from video games to football to basketball to skateboarding to going to parties, the Corey dances. Shout out to the Corey dances.
What is that?
The Corey dances. So the people that don't know about the Corey, out in Centennial Terrace, they used to have team parties in the summer.
Oh.
And this was like a conglomeration of kids from Springfield School District, Sylvania School District, and TPS. And for me, it was really my first time being in an environment like that where I was kind of free. Mm-hmm. And I got to experiment with social interactions.
Wow. This is the first time I'm hearing about it. Look at that. You taught me something.
Oh. Okay. Bring back the Corey.
Okay. What schools did you attend growing up, and what was your favorite?
I went to a lot of schools.
Okay.
A lot of schools.
Just so, run down.
Preschool through kindergarten, I went to St. Jude. First grade, I went to St. Martin de Porres. Second grade, I went to Body of Christ Baptist. Third through fifth, I went to Kaiser Elementary. That was my first public school experience. Sixth grade, I went to Trinity Lutheran. Seventh through eighth, I went to McTighe, and for high school, I went to Central Catholic.
So we got a mix of like public and you know, Catholic schools, and
absolutely.
That's why you're so diverse now.
I think so. the thing about it was I didn't stay at any school too long.
Were you bad?
No.
Okay, you were really good. Really smart.
I was smart.
Okay.
I think, and I asked my mom in retrospect why so many schools, and she told me that. She just wanted me to have the best education.
Oh, wow.
So I guess that
shout
meant
out to
me
mom.
Going to different schools.
Yes.
But, you know, if you ask me my favorite, of course, I have to say Central Catholic High School.
Okay.
I experienced a lot at Central. I grew a lot. And I really feel like Central challenged me and helped me become the person that I am today.
Okay. What was your college choice?
So I had a full ride scholarship to the University of Toledo. I was in Toledo Excel through high school, and they provided me a full ride to UT. I didn't fall in love with the institutional academics of UT, so I was very involved on campus, many different organizations, worked to have an impact on my community, but academically, I wasn't too engaged. So at a certain point, maybe my junior year, I made the decision to take my talents and my business to Columbus, Ohio. So at that point, I went to Columbus State, got my Associate of Science from Columbus State, and finished my Bachelor's of Business Administration at Franklin University in Columbus.
Wow, that's exciting. You are like a man of all backgrounds in education, and you got to move around. And, you know, I would say your mother instilled that in you, and your personality made it easier to... And your dad, I'm sure, yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a will, there's a way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm a plant. So no matter, I like to see myself as a fern. I actually have the fern tattooed on my arm because the fern can grow in so many different environments. So, you know, and it's independent, it's persistent, and I apply those principles to my life.
What was your career after college?
So very interesting. I've been an entrepreneur. Pretty much, that's been my dream. My dream when I was younger was to be a mogul. And so in college, I could say it was an entertainment production company, bringing people together, i.e. throwing parties in college. So I took that to Columbus to help one of my good friends, Eddie Drake, with the Why Not Foundation, to help him raise awareness for his foundation in Columbus. So we would throw different events to market for him and raise awareness. And that turned into me doing entertainment production, making music, making videos, sponsoring artists. We had a radio show, online radio show, before podcasting was a thing. Shout out to my partner, Brandon Dix, Heartland Radio Show. Yeah. But for me, it was more so about creating a platform for positive culture based out of the Midwest. And so that led me to, how can I raise capital? Because nobody's going to sign me with the messages that I'm bringing.
Right.
So I got hit to matcha green tea powder. And, you know, And I just saw an opportunity with tea being the number two most drink behind water.
Oh, yeah. You were the tea guy.
Matcha. Go, matcha, go. I was bringing in 20 kilos of green tea powder at a time from South Korea and breaking it down into 38 and 80 gram bags. Real talk. Real talk. And selling it through 6 different sales channels. Online, in coffee shops, corner stores, independent distributors, you name it. I was pushing it. But again, I need to automate my supply chain. So how do I automate my supply chain? Let me go wholesale a couple of houses, right? Mm-hmm. Let me go in wholesaling. In retrospect, I'm glad I didn't. One of my homeboys at the time, he's still my homeboy for life, Julius Masale. He's third generation in his grandmother's real estate brokerage. And she got her real estate license in 1963. So when I told him my plan to wholesale, he said, Rob, you don't want to do that. Get your real estate license and you'll open up so many doors, because anybody you know becomes a potential client. Mm. And so I went from trying to build a supply chain in tea to going on a quest to build a supply chain in the real estate industry, which has led me to today. But while I was doing all of that, I worked. Once I graduated, I was a substitute teacher for Columbus City Schools. So I would do that during the day. And then the evening, I was working fine dining, serving at Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse. So hustling.
Funny story, like, when my kids, because he also did a substitute teaching at Toledo Public School, well, not charter schools, in Toledo Public School. Yep. And so my kids had said, you know, Mr. Pasker, he's at our school. And I'm like, yeah, that's my friend. So if you do something wrong, he's going to let me know.
And I did.
You know?
Gladly.
So that helped me have an eye.
Didn't hesitate.
And yes. So, so tea to townhouses, basically. Like,
you can say that. I like that. The first time I've heard that, I like that.
Tell us about your family life. You are a full-time dad and a businessman, but before we talk about what you do now, tell us about your amazing family.
Yeah, I'm blessed. You know, wealth comes in many different forms. And, you know, relationships, you can be wealthy with your relationships, and I'm happy to say that I am wealthy. Just familially, I have both of my parents are still living. I have my siblings that I'm proud to have. My older sister, she served over 20 years in the Air Force as an officer. Mm-hmm. My big brother, he's a RN, worked in the emergency room at St. Anne's for over a decade. Mm-hmm. My younger brother, he's a defensive back coach at the Ohio State University. So I'm proud of him for pursuing his dream and bringing me some perks.
Before that, he was at Michigan, right?
He was at Michigan State. And he got it out the mud, started at Central Catholic, was All-American at Wayne State, went back to be a graduate assistant. And then, but aside from my immediate family, I am the father of 3 daughters. My oldest is 14. She's a freshman down in Columbus, Ohio. And then also have a 9 and an 8-year-old that are here in Toledo. And for me, it's more so about how can I create an environment where, and opportunities for them to pursue their purpose, what they've been made for. How can I create an environment where they can grow into that without societal burdens? Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm watching them grow, especially my oldest, seeing her grow, be a freshman. She was very successful with her volleyball season this year. Okay. Her first year playing volleyball, and she actually got to sit on the bench with the varsity team.
Oh,
because
that.
she's a natural. So
it's in her blood.
Yeah.
Success is in her blood.
Yeah. Well, it's the mindset. It's the mindset. And if the mindset is right, the rest follows.
That's awesome. You have started your own real estate brokerage firm. We're not really going to promote that, but we're going to talk about how you are the youngest to do so. How did you become one of the youngest, and one of six or less African-American brokers in Northwest Ohio. Congrats, by the way.
Thank you. You know, it's a journey. And again, I go back to how I got into real estate. I learned from a family that's been in the business from over 60 years. So I had a unique entry into the business where I didn't just go to a big brokerage. Not one of those people that said, oh, I want to get my license and sell houses. No, I got my license because I wanted to build a supply chain. So for me, getting my license was about a bigger purpose than just selling houses. And learning from Mary Lane, somebody that's been licensed since 1963, I was able to get the blueprint and the model for running a independent brokerage from the jump. So I got my license April of 2014, and I immediately moved back to Toledo because I said, if I could do this anywhere in the world, I want to do it where the people that I love are. I want to build something to affect my community. And so to become a broker, you have to have a certain amount of transactions, a certain amount of time in the industry, and a certain level of education. Mm. And I was able to do that. Starting in 2014, I started my brokerage. My goal was to become a broker before I was the age of 30, because the average broker, real estate broker in Ohio is about 65 years old. Mm. So my goal was to become a broker before I was 30, and I passed my broker's test the day before my 30th birthday.
Oh, wow.
In 2017.
Congratulations.
That was in 2017.
That is amazing.
So that was 7 years ago. And since then, I've helped a lot of people, whether it's just transactional or helping people into the industry. And also found pathways to help people in other ways. I'm going through the process right now of becoming a licensed appraiser. And I give a lot of credit to that, to my national organization, the National Association of Real Estate Brokers. With my national involvement, I've been able to see things that I wouldn't see just here in Toledo. And it's one of those things where a person can only aspire to something that they've seen or experienced. And by going to my national events, I've seen people that are 20, 30 years ahead of me have already walked the path that I've walked. So for me, it wasn't hard. It's just more so I'm walking in my purpose.
So you mentioned the Greater Toledo Realtors Association, and you are a founding president, right, of that organization. What is that? And then, you know, let me know. I know you mentioned to me when we were talking before about democracy and housing.
Absolutely. So the Greater Toledo Realtors Association is a local board of the National Association of Real Estate Brokers. So NARAB was founded in 1947, and it is a offshoot of Booker T. Washington's Negro Business League. Because as you know, the history of redlining and deed restrictions and African-American participation in the real estate industry, there were boundaries that were set, and NARAB has been at the forefront of pushing those boundaries, not just for us, the African-American people, but when you take care of the most marginalized people, it makes it better for everybody. So NARAB has been instrumental in advocating and pursuing for the Fair Voting Rights Act of 1965, Fair Housing Act of 1968, Community Reinvestment Act of 1976. And to this day, we're still advocating and pushing for policies that break down impediments to wealth building through real estate. So, yeah, I founded the charter for our local board in 2019. We had 11 founding members here in Northwest Ohio, and it's been 5 years. And I actually just passed the gavel to our new president, Delisa Moore. But in my time, we've grown to over 60 plus members. We've held monthly homebuyer education workshops. We've advocated for different policies, especially with influential organizations that affect real estate decisions in Northwest Ohio. And we've created a platform where these organizations come to us to get an understanding of what is necessary in our community. So I'm also very involved in the Ohio Realtors Association. And so with that being said, I'm the president-elect of the Ohio Realtors Association.
Wow, another big accomplishment there.
Well, it is simply for the fact that since 1952, when the Ohio Realtors Association was founded, they've never had a president from Toledo, Ohio.
Oh, wow. There, look at that.
Yeah.
You put Toledo on the map in ways more than one.
So, yeah, it's a service-based organization, and, you know, it's a blessing because I've learned a lot, and I've been able to help a lot of people through my service.
I think you've made many, many people homeowners in Toledo.
Yes, yes, multitudes.
And another accomplishment to add to this plethora of things that you have done and won, you just recently was awarded the 20 Under 40 Award. Yes. Now, we've had some former winners come, but, you know, it's an honor for me to have you here because you're like my brother, in a sense.
Yes,
and
indeed.
So, congratulations.
I appreciate it.
How did it feel winning that, knowing that, you know, they have a lot of crazy, amazing people on
wow.
that stage?
Well, it's one of those things. I do the work, and I don't do the work for accolades or recognition, but to be recognized amongst the names that were called or even the alum of the 20 Under 40, people who have gotten in the past, it's humbling. It's humbling, and shoot, it's great. I'm excited. I'm excited for the opportunities that come with that award.
Yeah, I'm very glad. I was nominated also in 2023, so I was shocked, but I didn't think I was going to win because I'm like, I didn't accomplish all that, you know? But yeah, so what do you see next for you, for your organizations that you... What do you see coming up?
Certainly. I mean, so with my focus, of course, the business is going to be the business, you know, just continuing to help people here in Northwest Ohio achieve homeownership and beyond that. But with my service as president of the Ohio Realtors Association, when I was president in Toledo, my things, as far as my theme, was to educate our community and ourselves to be more proficient in the industry, to advocate for policies that are going to break down barriers to homeownership, and to also elevate our brand. So I'm looking to take that to the state level. We have 7 local boards across Ohio, and you know, I'm looking to grow our membership across Ohio in all those local boards, taking what I've done here in Toledo and just basically implanting it with the local boards. Advocacy, there is a bill that I'm very passionate about that's in the Ohio Senate right now, Senate Bill 192. It deals with creating professional standards and transparency for real estate wholesalers. That's an issue that affects African-American communities specifically more so than others, because you have these quote-unquote investors, people that are from out the state, calling people in our communities, telling them, hey, we'll give you this much cash for this property, which is going to be below market value. And then they find someone else to buy it for a higher price and keep that, whatever the difference is, they keep that. Where versus with someone with a license is going to put that person in a position to maximize the market value that they receive. And so wholesalers siphon equity out of our communities.
Wow.
And Senate Bill 192 is going to help alleviate some of that. So I'm just looking forward to that, connecting with our Ohio lawmakers and policymakers to let them know that we advocate for this and push it through.
Didn't know any of that.
It's a real deal. It's a real deal. It's an epidemic, honestly, especially when we talk about Northwest Ohio real estate, where the National Association of Realtors in 2024 at the beginning said that Toledo was the number one place to invest in real estate
because
of the affordability of our region.
They did. Yeah.
And so we're targets right now. We have to protect our people.
We do. Well, we really appreciate you coming here and sharing your life and educating us and just being a voice for the people. So thank you again.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you everyone for listening. I'm your host and producer, Monique. My executive producer is Chris Piper. Join me next time for another exciting episode of Soul of the Glass City podcast. For more information, if you have questions or comments, go to wgte.org/soul.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners and administered by the Arts Commission.